This is a different kind of movie. We knew we weren't making something sort of conventional.
Well, the form reflects the story. And so if people don't like the story, they're probably not going to like the form, and vice versa.
The way I watched it, on my television, but I got it through the Roku box, so I could. And we have a pretty nice TV. To be self-congratulatory, but I've got. And I did. I just sort of like made an announcement in the house that this is a quiet film, and I told my dog and that there'll be no ball throwing. But it is. It's nice to go on the journey with her and sort of let it unfold. I want to ask you about the filming in the monastery.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, then I recognized one of the guys playing the monk is a local actor, but also a Buddhist,
I believe. That's right. Greg Congleton.
Yeah, and Greg was wonderful, I thought, in his role. I totally believed it.
The monks thought he was a monk, actually. They thought he was a visiting monk. They thought he was a monk from another monastery. It was hilarious, actually.
There are Christian themes coming in and out of the movie, but also it also felt to me a little bit like a Buddhist movie as well, because it's a lot about self-reflection and stillness. And, well, I guess you find this stillness in many monastic traditions around the world. But what was it like filming in an actual monastery and using not real monks and real monks?
It was quiet. One of the challenges in particular with the Abbey of Gethsemane is they do have designated silent areas, and we had to respect that silence while we were filming, which when you're used to a large crew, and our crew was fairly small by film standards, but they've got walkie-talkies and, you know, people are used to being able to make as much noise as they kind of want. So we were using hand signals and kind of modifying our behavior to fit into that environment. But I think it actually enhanced the filming in a really incredible way, because we had to be as quiet as the story was in a lot of those moments. The monks were incredibly generous and welcoming. They have invited us back a couple of times since to cook for us or to just check in and see where we are with the project. In the fall, we screened for the monks there and got to hear their thoughts on the film.
What were their thoughts?
I mean, they enjoyed it. You know, there's a funny subculture at the monastery. There are a handful of monks there who are real cinephiles, and we sort of jokingly referred to it as the DVD underground, because you know more about.
They're not allowed to have Netflix. The abbot doesn't like Netflix, so they have an underground DVD exchange.
And so they were asking us, you know, have you seen this Ozu? You know, they knew film. I mean, these guys, you know, and they have, some of them haven't been in the monastery for that long. Some have only been in it for 7 years. Some have been in there since their teens, really. But a few of them, you know, they were huge cinephiles before they entered the monastery, and they've maintained that. And they like meditative films. So, you know, one monk in particular just wanted to talk with us on and on about the film. And that was a blast. That was so cool talking with them. I wanted to go back to something that you said, though, earlier about it being sort of that has these Christian themes, but it also has a sort of maybe a Buddhist sensibility as well. And I just want to thank you for that compliment, because one of the things that was really important to us making this film, you were talking about the rhythm, the real sort of line that I felt like I was walking that was very scary to me as a filmmaker was trying to make a film that was concrete and specific about religion in a way that maybe Hollywood films aren't, but that at the same time wasn't a faith-based movie, that wasn't advocating, oh, you should believe this. And that I really respond to, it just makes me feel very good to hear you talk about that Buddhist sensibility, because to me it is not intended at all to be a film that advocates a specific kind of Christian faith. That's her journey that she goes on and exploring a little bit. But
yeah, and that was another refreshing thing about the film, was that it dealt with spiritual and religious topics without reverting to the old stereotypes that always come out, you know. And it's almost like either one or the other. Either it's like it's a sales job, or it's tearing it down, you know, unmercifully. And it just seemed like more like life, you know.
Yeah.
Was that what drew you? Because you mentioned from the beginning that you wanted a monk in there or something like that. Why?
I think I probably connect to that character some in terms of, I think as a writer and as an editor of films, those are pretty solitary activities. And so I connect with that. And I also did some studies when I was in college in religious studies and read pretty widely in different religions about this sort of ascetics, you know, whether they're Buddhists or Christians or whatever. And around that time that I started developing the script, I had read Tolstoy's My Confession, which is his journey towards asceticism. And I got interested in that, and I just decided to – you can never ultimately articulate where these ideas come from, but those are the sort of sources.
There seems to be a theme in the movie of discovering kindness, that our culture and the pace of life, there's a certain element in our, and maybe in jobs and the way we relate to other people, there's a certain lack of kindness, and that she, Margaret, is sort of uncovering her own. Is this something that is there for you, or?
Well, I don't know if anyone has kind of put it that way about the film before, but I'd like to think that that's what the story is about. I think especially in our society that is so driven by social media and self-promotion, and it's about followers and likes and kind of bolstering your own sense of accomplishment. I think Margaret is someone who's realizing that maybe that's not such a great way to be in this world. And she is instead striving to kind of get away from that constant measuring and judgment, even while she's simultaneously judged even more harshly for all of those steps that she's taking. To me, that's kind of a timeless message. I know we think we're unique in this age of technology that we live in, but I think that kind of judgment and harshness and cruelty that we're capable of showing each other is nothing new under the sun.
Well, I have to say, I had this weird moment of envy in the, you know, and I wouldn't want to go through a lot of the things the character has to go through, though you never know. But I had this weird moment of envy when she canceled her cell phone plan, which actually caught me off guard, because I don't want to get rid of my cell phone. But when she does, I thought, that is awesome. That is so brave. Yeah. I'm not going to do it, but I'm glad someone tried it. Have you gotten any reactions or have any thoughts on that particular part of it?
Someone asked me if the film was wish fulfillment for me, and I thought, overall, no, but that probably is. You know, I think I use my cell phone all the time. I use every, you know, check my mail on it and everything. But there is a part of me that really desires to just go off the grid, you know, like that. And I think we've gotten, you know, responses at Q&As. We've gotten emails. People email us about the film. They email us after watching on Netflix. They find an email address for us, and they track us down, and they send us messages about how they've gone on similar journeys, and maybe they haven't given up their phone. That's always the line. They're like, well, I haven't given up my phone, but I've done these things, you know, because it's like the last thing. It's like really cutting yourself off from communication.
That's kind of interesting. It's easier for her to give up the husband before the phone. Anyway, can you tell me about how you chose the music? And at some point you'll have to address, did I really see a jazz stamp on the letter that she gets from her monk buddy? Because I saw that and went, yeah.
Let's start with the jazz stamp. You absolutely saw the jazz stamp. That was absolutely, Ashley and I both said, that's the stamp that has to be on there. So that's... You're the only person who's ever seen that, but that's absolutely intentional. That's not just some American flag.
We had to buy a whole page of those stamps just to get that one stamp in the shot.
The music, though, I mean, a lot of work went into selecting those tracks. I mean, I am a huge music fan. I haven't used a lot of music in my films before because I've always been wary of how it can sort of dictate or sort of pressure an audience to feel a certain way, and I wanted there to be a lot of ambiguity in the film. And we went through a number of cuts of the film with less music than there is now, and then because of those reservations I had. And then we found this great composer, Eric Hetchikian, who was able to, I think, bring an entirely new level of feeling to the film while still, I hope, maintaining that sense of openness. You know, he was great to work with. And he's actually, speaking of Netflix, he's actually one of the composers for this new crazy Marco Polo miniseries that's on Netflix now. But he was great to work with. And all the other music that wasn't composed for the film, but which we used, Donald Brown to, you know, Dead Moon and the Bevis Frond and all that stuff. I mean, it was great working with those folks.
Of course, Paul Harrell and Ashley Maynard, their new film is called Something Anything. You can watch it a number of ways. You can buy the film on Vimeo. You can rent it or buy it on Netflix and Amazon. This film's done. It's actually been in the can for a while. It's just reaching a lot of us, but I'm sure you're already working on something else.
Right now, we're working on a new web documentary, which is going to launch on April 16th online, and it's called The Story of the Stuff. And it tracks what happens to the more than 500,000 letters, 65,000 teddy bears, and all the other crazy amounts of stuff that Newtown, Connecticut received after the Sandy Hook school shooting. So it's a kind of unconventional, new frontier kind of documentary project.
Is this a self-reliant project? How will one find this one? And where do we find out more just about what you guys do?
Folks can go to selfreliantfilm.com, and we've got all of our projects up there and a blog as well. And folks can subscribe to our newsletter. We send out some free ways to watch our short films on there.
Our guest again today on Changing Course, Ashley Maynard and Paul Harrell. Their new film is called Something Anything. It's been a delight to have you both in here talking about music and film and stamps and such. For Changing Course, which is a production of WUOT, I'm Todd Steed.